Hello, this is Andy Cates, and joining me from Singapore is Chan Yong Woon. Today, we're going to talk about some of the fundamental factors that have been driving the rally in global equity markets over the past few months. Chan Yong will offer some color on this with a Japan angle, and I'm going to offer some color on this with a global angle. We'll also, however, and as usual, weigh in with some thoughts about what's in store in the week ahead. As ever, before we begin, just a quick reminder that all of the views that we express on this podcast are our own. They're not the views of Haber Analytics. So on the global side, there's been an abundance of optimistic narratives that have been doing the rounds that seek to sort of somehow, you know, offer some support to the equity market rally's rationale and even the prospects for an extension of that rally in the coming months. I think from my side, they include, for example, a renaissance in the US manufacturing sector and the broader productivity-related benefits that might stem from that. Allied to that, they include as well optimism about artificial intelligence and the impact of that on the global semiconductor sector. They include, from, shall we say, more of a cyclical angle, receding inflationary pressures and the potential impact of that on interest rates. And they include as well that the broader financial market liquidity issues that have arguably been with us for some time now, and the impact of that not just incidentally on equity prices, but on the prices of other financial assets. Now, zooming in on Japan more specifically, which has incidentally seen the best performance from a major equity market this year, there are some other things that have been going on and which you have, I think, to some extent been looking at over the past few days, Chan Yong.
Yes, thank you, Andy. Indeed, we have seen several interesting developments coming out of Japan recently. So firstly, we have seen continued strength in Japan's equity markets, pushing the Nikkei 225 index above the 40,000 mark earlier this week. The strong equity performance was partly driven by semiconductor-related producers who are benefiting from a global uptick in AI chip demand. Also, Japanese equities were likely made more attractive by a weakened yen, which made them more of a bargain in foreign investors' respective base currencies. Finally, corporate governance reforms aimed at improving listed firms' valuation ratios likely spurred a series of buybacks that lifted equity prices. Apart from the equities rally, we have seen some noteworthy developments from Tokyo's latest inflation print and from Japan's Q4 corporate capital expenditure data. First, touching on Tokyo, we saw inflation, excluding fresh food, bumped up to 2.5% in February, as base effects from Japan's utility subsidy program faded. Stripping away energy-related price effects, however, underlying inflation in Tokyo actually cooled further to 3.1% from the 3.3% seen in January. So, it remains to be seen if Tokyo's latest inflation developments are supportive of imminent policy tightening by the Bank of Japan, especially if they are reflected in nationwide inflation readings. Moving next to Japan's latest corporate capital spending data, which was released on Monday, we saw surprisingly strong growth of 16.4% year-on-year for Q4. The surprise has prompted some economists to expect Japan's quarterly GDP growth for Q4 to reflect growth instead of a contraction as shown by the preliminary readings. If such expectations materialize, it would mean that Japan has avoided a technical recession for the quarter. Over to you, Andy.
Great, yeah, thanks. So I think, you know, stepping back a bit, and I think to some extent as your remarks about Japan indicate as well, one of the more striking features of financial markets in recent times is that stock markets appear to now be more heavily driven by growth expectations and not by inflation and allied to that, interest rate expectations. The rally in markets toward the end of last year, for instance, was all about an imminent pivot from the Fed toward looser monetary policy, which in turn was driven in part by some worries about growth. But fast forward to today, investors seem less concerned about inflation and interest rates and far more concerned, or far more excited, I should say, about the resilience of the US and indeed, to some extent, the broader global economy. Now, to be fair, you know, I think there are some things to be potentially excited about. On the US side, we have seen lots of legislation that's been focusing on a rebuilding of infrastructure, on advancing clean energy initiatives, on expanding the semiconductor industry, and all of which have meant that manufacturing investment has been contributing very heavily to the broader resilience of the US economy over the past few months. And I think it's no surprise against that backdrop that we've seen US productivity growth perk up over the past few months as well. And looking more globally, the semiconductor sector has generally seen a renaissance in recent times as well, spurred in part, I suspect, by optimism about the benefits from AI. As you've noted in some of your work, Tianyong, semiconductor exports in South Korea have jumped very sharply, and specifically by nearly 75% year-on-year in February. Now, that all being said, and without wishing to sound like a two-handed economist, that there is as well, I think, a well-known phenomenon of fear of missing out amongst retail investors that's been going on at the same time as all of this. I think it's been notable that cryptocurrencies have been climbing to new highs in recent days, specifically and most notably Bitcoin. And that's arguably symptomatic, I think, of a broader backdrop where global financial conditions still remain very accommodative. And that in turn, I think, does invoke some danger of market setbacks should, for instance, inflation outcomes surprise on the upside in the immediate weeks ahead. That brings me neatly, it's a nice segue to the week ahead, where February's inflation readings from the US, I think, are going to be the key focus that investors will be focusing on. Fed Chairman Powell recently commented that greater confidence is needed on inflation before rate cuts should be expected, which of course underscores the importance of that data. Otherwise, in Europe in the week ahead, I think the focus is going to be on the UK, with some key data releases due in the form of some fresh labour market numbers and a monthly GDP release. What about Asia?
Thank you again, Andy. For the Asia-Pacific, developments in Japan and China will likely take center stage next week. Japan will unveil its final Q4 GDP print, while China will release credit-related data for February. As mentioned earlier, analysts will likely want to know if Japan's strong corporate capital spending in Q4 will translate to Japan avoiding a technical recession for the period. On China, analysts will likely be curious about latest trends in social financing and its components, including government bond and bank loan financing. Apart from the two main releases, other data prints of note relate to Australia's business survey results, New Zealand's PMI readings, and India's CPI, all for February, alongside several industrial production and trade-related releases. That's all from me, Andy.
Terrific. Let's leave it there for today. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Further analysis on these issues can be found in our latest Charts of the Week publication and in Tianyong's analysis on Japan, which will be published in the early part of next week. Have a great week ahead.